Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse No. 25, Stage Fright on a Summer Night, by Mary Pope Osborne. Read by the author.
Stage Fright on a Summer Night. Chapter 1, Special Magic. Jack and Annie sat on their porch. Lightning bugs blinked in the warm summer twilight.
"Wow, a shooting star," said Annie, pointing at the sky.
Jack looked up, just in time to see a streak of light flash through the sky. The light hovered above the Frog Creek woods. Then it disappeared into the treetops. Jack caught his breath. He turned to Annie.
"That was no shooting star," he said.
"Right,"
she said. They jumped up. Jack grabbed his backpack from inside the front hall.
"Dad, Mom, can we go out?" he called. "We'll be back soon."
10 minutes, no more," their mom said.
"Okay,"
said Jack. He closed the door.
"Let's go, hurry."
He and Annie ran across their yard. They ran down their street. They ran into the woods. They ran until they came to the tallest oak. They looked up.
"Yep," said Annie.
Jack just smiled. He was too happy for words.
"That's our shooting star," said Annie. "The magic treehouse."
She grabbed the rope ladder and started up. Jack followed. When they climbed inside the treehouse, they both gasped. A beautiful woman with long white hair stood in the shadowy corner.
"Hello, Jack and Annie," said Morgan Le Fay.
"Morgan," Jack and Annie cried. They threw their arms around her.
"Why are you here?" said Annie. "What do you want us to do for you?"
"You have already done many good things for me," said Morgan, "and for King Arthur and Camelot. Now I want you to do something good for yourselves. You are going to learn magic."
"Oh, wow," said Annie. "Are we going to become magicians? Will you teach us charms and spells?"
Morgan laughed. "There is magic that does not need charms or spells," she said. "You'll find a special magic on each of your next adventures."
"How?"
asked Jack. "A secret rhyme will guide you on each journey," Morgan said. "Here, this is the first." She held up a slip of paper. Annie took the paper from Morgan and read the rhyme aloud.
"To find a special magic, you must step into the light, and without wand, spell, or charm, turn daytime into night."
"Turn daytime into night," said Jack. "How can we do that?"
Morgan smiled. "That's what you have to find out," she said. Jack had lots of questions, but before he could ask any of them, a flash lit up the treehouse. He closed his eyes against the light. When he opened them, Morgan Le Fay was gone. On the floor where she had stood was a book.
"Morgan didn't tell us enough," said Jack.
"But she left this research book," said Annie.
She picked up the book.
"And it'll tell us the first place to go."
She held the book up to the gray light at the window. The cover showed a busy river with boats and a bridge. The title was Merry Old England.
"What's O-L-D-E mean?" asked Annie.
"I think that's the old way of spelling old," said Jack. "You say it the same."
"So we're going to Merry Old England to find magic?" said Annie. "That sounds fun. Ready?"
"I guess," said Jack.
He still wished they'd gotten more information from Morgan, but he pointed at the cover of their research book.
"I wish we could go there," he said.
The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin. The wind blew harder and harder. Then everything was still, absolutely still.
Chapter 2, London Bridge. Warm daylight flooded into the treehouse. Jack opened his eyes. Annie was wearing a long dress with an apron. Jack was wearing a shirt with puffy sleeves, knee-length pants, and tights. Their shoes were leather slippers. Jack's backpack was now a leather bag.
"These clothes are weird," said Jack.
His voice was nearly drowned out by the sound of thundering wagon wheels coming from below.
"What's going on?" said Annie.
She and Jack looked out. The treehouse had landed in a patch of trees near a wide brown river. Wagons, carts, and people were heading toward the river. Ferry boats, sailing ships, and white swans glided across the water.
Wow, it's so busy, said Annie.
Jack opened their research book and read.
In 1600, over 100,000 people lived in London, England. At that time, England was ruled by Queen Elizabeth I. She was much loved by her people. A queen? Cool, said Annie.
Jack took out his notebook and wrote, London, 1600, Queen Elizabeth I.
I've never seen a bridge like that, said Annie, looking to the left.
Jack looked with her. A giant stone bridge crossed the river. The bridge looked like a small town. It was crowded with houses, shops, and even a church. Jack found a picture of the bridge in their research book. He read aloud,
At the heart of London was London Bridge. The bridge crossed the Thames River. At different times in history, the bridge fell down, but it was always built again. Oh, wow, said Annie. That must be where the song comes from. She sang, London Bridge is falling down, falling down.
While Annie sang, Jack took out his notebook and wrote, London Bridge crosses Thames River, crowded with stores and houses.
Let's go look for the magic, said Annie.
She read Morgan's note again.
To find a special magic, you must step into the light, and without wand, spell, or charm, turn daytime into night.
Jack squinted up at the sky. It was very blue, without even a cloud.
It's just not possible, he said, shaking his head.
But he threw the research book and his notebook into his leather bag. Then he followed Annie down the rope ladder. When they reached the ground, they started walking toward the river.
P.U.,
Annie said, holding her nose. The river smelled terrible. No one else seemed to mind the smell, though. People were cheerfully piling into ferry boats or heading for the bridge. They all seemed happy, as if they were going someplace fun. A group of ragged boys brushed past Jack and Annie. They were about 12 or 13 years old. They were laughing and out of breath.
Hurry, we'll be late, one shouted.
The boys ran toward the stone gateway leading onto the bridge.
Late for what? Said Annie. What's on the other side of that bridge? Why are they in such a hurry to get there?
I don't know, said Jack. He pulled out their research book. I'll see what the book says.
No, let's just go or we'll be late, said Annie.
She took off running.
Okay, okay,
said Jack. He put away the book and ran after her toward London Bridge.
Chapter 3. The Bear Garden.
Jack and Annie passed under the stone gateway that led onto London Bridge. As they started across, Jack was amazed. The bridge was so noisy and smelly. Wagon wheels rumbled like thunder over the cobblestones. Pots clinked in carts. Horses neighed. Shopkeepers shouted,
Good pies! Hot peas! New bins!
Shoes, soap, salt!
A shopkeeper caught Jack's eye.
What lack you, boy? He shouted.
Nothing, thank you, said Jack, and kept walking.
Watch out!
A cart driver yelled. Jack grabbed Annie's hand. He pulled her out of the way. The cart rolled past them over the narrow roadway.
Look, said Annie.
She pointed to a bear in a wooden cage in the back of the cart. The bear had matted brown fur. His head was down. As the cart rumbled on, Jack shook his head.
What next?
He said.
Them, said Annie, looking up.
She pointed at huge black birds sitting hunched at the edges of the rooftops. The birds sat still as they stared down at all the carts and animals and people crossing London Bridge. Jack shivered and moved quickly past the gaze of the giant silent birds. Finally, he and Annie came to the end of the bridge. They stepped onto the riverbank. There they stopped and looked around.
I wonder where those big kids went, said Annie.
Jack studied the crowd heading down the road that led from the bridge. There was no sign of the group of ragged boys. Jack took out their research book. He found the picture of London Bridge. He read aloud,
London Bridge connected London to the south bank of the river, an area where Londoners went for entertainment. The Bear Garden was a popular spot. The Bear Garden? Said Annie. That sounds good. Where's that?
Jack found a map of the south bank. He pointed to a circle that was labeled Bear Garden.
Here, he said.
He looked up.
And there,
He pointed to a dark round building in the distance.
Great, said Annie. I want to see the garden filled with bears.
Let's read, started Jack.
Let's look, said Annie.
She headed toward the bear garden. Jack put away their book and followed her. As they got closer, they heard loud shouting and laughter coming from inside the round building. Annie stopped.
Wait, she said. I'm getting a bad feeling about the bear garden. Maybe we should read more about it.
Jack opened their book again. He read aloud.
At an arena called the Bear Garden, people watched bears fight with dogs. Animal fights were a common sport in old England. They are against the law today. Bears fight with dogs? Yuck, said Annie. I couldn't stand to watch that.
Me neither, said Jack. Forget that place. He started to walk away.
Hey, Jack, look over there, said Annie.
She pointed to a cart nearby.
That's the bear that passed us on the bridge.
Chapter 4. A Midsummer Night's Dream. Annie and Jack ran over to the cart. In the back of it was a cage. In the cage was a big brown bear. The bear was slumped over, his head still down. The sign on the cart said, Dan the Dancing Bear.
Dan? Annie asked. Are you going to fight?
The lonely-looking bear raised his huge head and looked at Annie. His dark eyes were sad. He let out a low moan.
I understand, Annie said. You don't want to fight. You're asking me to take you away.
Annie reached for the door of the bear's cage.
Away with you, someone shouted angrily. That's my bear.
Jack and Annie whirled around. The cart driver was charging toward them.
He's mine. I'm selling him, the man shouted.
Come on, Annie, let's go, said Jack.
He pulled her into the crowd walking down the road.
But I have to save Dan, said Annie, looking over her shoulder. That guy wants to sell him to the bear fights.
I know, said Jack, but we can't just steal him. That guy is his owner.
Jack looked around. He needed to get Annie's mind off the bear. He saw the group of older kids from the bridge. They were walking toward a round white building.
Hey, look, the kids from the bridge, he said. Let's see where they're going.
What about Dan? Said Annie.
We can figure that out later, said Jack. Let's follow those kids now.
He steered Annie toward the white building. When they got closer, Jack read the sign out front.
A play at the Globe Theater, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Great, thought Jack. Annie loved plays. She loved acting in them at school. A man stood at the door of the theater. He was holding a box.
A penny to stand! A penny to stand! He shouted.
The older kids dropped coins into the box and went inside.
Wow, the play costs only a penny, said Jack. That's cheap.
But we don't have any pennies, said Annie. Besides, I want to go back and free the bear.
Jack sighed.
What will you do with him if you free him, Annie? He asked.
I'll figure something out, she said.
We'll figure it out when the owner's not standing there, Jack said. Right now, let's learn something about this play.
He quickly pulled out their research book. He found a picture of the Globe Theater. He wanted Annie to forget about the bear, so he read with lots of feeling.
The first theaters were built in Old England. Because there was no electricity, plays were performed during the day when it was light. Almost everyone could afford to go.
Neat, huh? Said Jack.
Annie sighed. Jack kept reading in a loud, dramatic voice.
Seating for the audience depended on how much was paid. The people who could afford the higher prices sat in galleries above the stage. Others stood in an area below the...
Boy!
Someone shouted. Jack looked up. A man hurried over to Jack and Annie. He was long-legged, with a trim beard and twinkly eyes.
I could hear you from across the way, the man said. You read very well.
Jack smiled shyly.
No, you are simply brilliant, the man said. And I am in great need of a boy who is a brilliant reader.
Chapter 5. Stage Fright.
Why do you need a boy who's a brilliant reader?
Annie asked the man.
Because I have just lost two fairies, he said.
He pointed at Jack.
You can read both.
And you are nuts, thought Jack. Well, bye, see you around, he said. He nudged Annie to move along.
Wait, wait, she said.
She turned to the man.
What do you mean my brother can read both fairies? Read them where?
Two boy actors didn't show up today to play fairies, said the man. But your brother reads with such expression. He can save us all.
Jack stared. Was this guy saying what he thought he was saying?
You mean you want Jack to be in your play? Said Annie.
Indeed, said the man. There are 3,000 people here today, waiting to see the play I have written. We cannot disappoint them, can we?
3,000, said Jack.
Yes, said the man. And one of them is the most important person in the world.
No, no way, I can't do that, said Jack.
He had never liked being on stage. He always got stage fright.
Wait, wait, Jack, said Annie.
She turned to the man.
You need two fairies, right?
Yes,
said the man.
Well?
Annie tilted her head. Her voice went up.
I can read, too.
Yes, let Annie do it, said Jack. She's a great reader. She can be both fairies.
Oh, but of course Annie cannot go on stage, the man said kindly.
Why not?
Asked Annie. The man raised his eyebrows.
Surely you know it's against the law for girls to go on the stage, he said. Boys must play all the girls' parts.
But that's not fair, said Annie.
Indeed, 'tis not. But we cannot change the law now, said the man.
He turned to Jack.
So, Jack, will you join our players?
No, thanks, said Jack. He tried to walk off, but Annie grabbed his arm.
Wait, I think I know what Jack wants, she said to the man. He will only be in your play if I can be in it, too.
No, that's not what I want, Annie, Jack said under his breath.
But, Jack, it would be so much fun, she whispered. And there's nothing to be afraid of. You get to read your part. You don't have to memorize it.
Jack could tell that Annie really, really wanted to be in the play, and it was definitely a way to keep her mind off the bear.
Okay, he said, sighing. He looked at the man. I'll be in your play, if Annie can be in it too.
The man looked at Annie. She smiled eagerly at him. The man smiled back.
Why not? He said. But Annie will have to pretend to be a boy. She can tuck up her hair, and we'll call her Andy.
Yay, thanks, said Annie with a grin.
A trumpet blasted inside the theater.
Hark, the play begins, the man said.
He took Jack and Annie by the hand.
My name is Will, by the way, he said. Come along, Jack and Andy, be as swift as shadows.
Chapter 6. On Stage. Will led Jack and Annie through a door into the back of the Globe Theater. Then he led them up a dark stairway. As they headed upstairs, Jack heard laughter coming from the audience. His legs felt like jelly.
This way, said Will.
He led Jack and Annie into a crowded, dimly lit room. Actors were rushing about everywhere. Each seemed to be in his own world. One was pulling on a cape. Another was tying a rope around his waist. A third was whispering words to himself.
I'll find your costumes, said Will.
As Will dug through a large basket of clothes, Jack and Annie looked around the costume room. It was crammed with fancy gowns, purple and blue capes, gold and silver wigs, stacks of hats and masks.
Cool,
whispered Annie. She touched a donkey mask and a lion mask.
These would make good disguises, huh?
Jack was amazed she was acting so calm. Didn't she know they were about to stand in front of 3,000 people? The thought made him break into a sweat. His stomach felt fluttery.
Here, said Will.
He handed them green tunics, hats, and slippers.
Put these on, no time to dally. Your parts come up soon.
Jack and Annie slipped behind a curtain and changed into their costumes. As they put on their hats, Annie hid her pigtails. When they came out, Will handed them each a small scroll.
Here are your roles, he said.
They have only your lines on them, no one else's. Jack unrolled his scroll. He had two long speeches to read.
Wait a second, he said. I thought I just had a few lines. I didn't know I had a ton.
Don't worry, said Will. Just remember, speak very clearly and with feeling. And above all, act natural.
Act natural, thought Jack.
How do you act natural when you're about to have a heart attack?
Just then a short, chubby man burst into the costume room. He had curly hair and bright red cheeks. He was dressed all in green, too.
For goodness sakes, Will, he said in a frantic whisper. What will we do?
Don't worry. Look who I've found. They both can read, said Will.
He pushed Jack and Annie forward.
Jack and Andy, meet Puck, merry wanderer of the night. He'll take you to the stage. Good luck.
Annie smiled. Jack groaned.
Come, boys, said Puck. Follow me.
Puck led Jack and Annie out of the costume room into the hallway. Then he guided them to a dark area at the back of the stage. Actors stood silently nearby, waiting to go on. One wore a beautiful white gown. Others wore tattered brown rags. Through an arch, Jack saw the roof of the stage. It was blue with stars and a moon. A huge crowd stood directly in front of the stage. More people watched from the galleries above.
Every single person in England is out there, Jack thought with horror. How did I let Annie talk me into this?
I'll take you on stage first, Puck whispered to Jack.
When I say, how now, spirit? Whither wander you? Start reading your lines. Understand?
Jack barely nodded. His mouth felt dry. He tried to swallow, but he couldn't. Puck turned to Annie.
You go on stage with the fairy queen, he whispered.
He pointed to the actor dressed in the beautiful white gown.
When she tells you to sing her to sleep, you start your song.
What's the tune? Asked Annie.
Just make it up, said Puck. Now, if they yell rude things, do not stop. Just,
if who yells rude things? Jack broke in.
The groundlings get a bit wild, said Puck.
Groundlings? Said Jack.
The rowdy folk who don't have seats, said Puck. They're standing close to the stage. If they throw rotten fruit, don't stop either. Just keep going.
That does it, thought Jack. He couldn't go on stage. Not with groundlings throwing things. Not with 3,000 people watching. Not with a million lines to read. And not when he was about to throw up.
While Puck and Annie watched the show, Jack slipped away. He looked for the exit. Just as he found the stairs, he bumped into Will.
Where are you going?
Will whispered.
I can't stay, said Jack. I'm sick.
Will sucked in his breath, but then he put his hands on Jack's shoulders and spoke calmly.
Close your eyes for a moment, Jack, he said.
Jack closed his eyes. He could hear his heart pounding in his ears.
There is nothing to fear, Will whispered. Imagine you are a fairy. You're in the forest on a summer night. See the silver moon overhead. Hear the owls. Hoo, hoo.
Will's deep whisper seemed to cast a spell over Jack. He felt calmer. He could picture the silver moon. He could hear the hooting of the owls.
Are you in the forest on a summer night? Asked Will.
Jack nodded.
If you believe that, the audience will believe it too, whispered Will. We're on, whispered Puck.
The chubby actor ran to Jack. He grabbed his hand and pulled him along. Before he knew it, Jack was on stage. Chapter 7. In the Forest, in the Night. Jack stood on stage in the bright sunlight. He felt 3,000 pairs of eyes staring at him.
How now, spirit? Puck said in a loud voice. Whither wander you?
Jack looked down at his scroll. He pushed his glasses into place. He opened his mouth. No sound came out. One of the groundlings hissed.
How now, spirit?
Puck shouted even louder this time.
Whither wander you?
Jack closed his eyes. He felt the summer night. He took a deep breath. He cleared his throat. He looked at his speech. Then he began to read.
Over hill, over dale, through bush,
through briar, over park, over pale, through flood, through fire. I do wander everywhere, swifter than the moon's sphere, and I serve the fairy queen.
As Jack read, the audience grew quiet. Jack forgot he was Jack. He was in the forest, in the night, talking to Puck. When he finished, not a single groundling hissed or threw things. Jack took a deep breath as Puck started his lines. Jack knew he had one more speech. His heart pounded, but it was more from excitement now than fear. When it was time to start his second speech, he was ready. This time, he spoke very clearly and with feeling. He tried to be as natural as possible. When he finished his speech, the audience clapped and clapped. Jack hardly remembered leaving the stage. Will was waiting for him.
"Hurrah!" said Will, slapping Jack on the back. "You were brilliant!"
Jack blushed as he gave Will his scroll back. He couldn't believe he just performed, acted in front of all those people, and he'd actually had fun, just like Annie had said. Jack waited in the shadows for Annie to do her part. He watched her go on stage with the fairy queen and the other fairies. When the queen asked the fairies to sing her to sleep, Annie stepped forward. Reading from her scroll, she sang out clearly and with lots of feeling.
"You spotted snakes with double tongue, thorny hedgehogs, be not seen."
Annie waved her hand as if shooing away the snakes and hedgehogs.
"Newts and blind worms do no wrong. Come not near our fairy queen."
Annie shook her finger at the newts and blind worms. The audience howled with laughter. Annie kept singing. She made funny movements and silly faces to go with the words. She even added a little dance to her song. By the time she finished, the audience clapped and cheered and stamped their feet.
"Wonderful job, Andy," Will said when Annie left the stage. "You were brilliant," Jack told her.
"Thanks," said Annie. She gave her scroll back to Will. "Do I go on again?"
"Not until the end, when we all bow," said Will. Just then Jack heard the audience laughing again. He really wanted to see the play, so he found a shadowy spot at the back of the theater and watched from there. Jack couldn't understand everything people said, but he could understand the story. It was about people in love, but none were able to marry the people they loved. The funniest part was about the fairy king and fairy queen. The king was mad at the queen, so he put magic juice on her eyelids to make her fall in love with the first person she saw. Puck worked for the king. He wanted to make the king's trick even funnier. So he put the head of a donkey on a funny man. When the queen woke up, she saw the donkey man. The magic made her fall madly in love with him. The fairy king finally broke the spell. Puck turned the donkey man back into a human while he slept. When the man woke up, he looked about in wonder.
"I have had a most rare vision," he said. "I have had a dream."
Jack whispered the words to himself.
"I have had a most rare vision. I have had a dream."
Beside him, a group of actors gathered for the last scene of the play.
"My lion mask is missing," one of them wailed. "I cannot be a lion without my mask."
"Hush, of course you can," said Will. "Just roar and roar again."
Will pushed the actor on stage. He wiped his brow. Then he caught sight of Jack.
"Get Andy," he said. "It's almost time for our bow."
"Annie? Where is Annie?" Jack wondered. He hadn't seen her in a while. He peeked into the costume room. She wasn't there. Jack's heart started to pound. He had a scary thought. "Oh, no," he whispered. Jack ran down the stairs. He opened the door. He was happy to see Annie running out from some trees behind the theater.
"It's time to bow," he said, grabbing her hand. "Where have you been? What did you do?"
"I'll show you later," said Annie.
Jack and Annie charged upstairs together. They found Will and some of the actors waiting. Puck was finishing his last speech on stage.
"So good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends."
"Andy, Jack," said Will.
He grabbed Annie and Jack. Puck ended his speech. The audience gave a big hand. They clapped and whistled and shouted. Jack and Annie ran on stage with Will and the other actors. While the crowd cheered, they all bowed once, twice, and once again.
Chapter 8, The Most Important Person. Will stepped forward and held up his hands. Slowly the crowd quieted down.
Thank you all, he said, and thank you to the most important person in all the world. She has graced us with her presence today.
Will made a sweeping bow to a woman in a gallery above the stage. The woman wore a white dress with pearls. A veil covered her face. The woman stood up and slowly lifted the veil. She had pale, wrinkled skin and small, dark eyes. She wore a red wig. The audience members let out a gasp. They all fell to their knees.
Long live Queen Elizabeth, said Will.
Long live Queen Elizabeth,
the crowd shouted.
Long live Queen Elizabeth, shouted Jack and Annie.
The queen smiled. Her teeth were all black. The audience didn't seem to mind. They cheered even louder. The queen raised one hand, and the crowd instantly hushed.
I thank you, my good people, she said, and I thank all these good players, every one. Today they gave us a special kind of magic, the magic of theater. They turned the very daytime into night.
Oh, man, whispered Jack. That was it, the special magic. Their search was over.
The audience cheered again. When the actors left the stage, they gathered around Will to congratulate him on his success. Annie pulled Jack aside.
We found it, she said. The magic.
I know, Jack said. Will helped us. Let's thank him.
Later, said Annie. First, I have to show you something. I need your help, quick.
Annie led Jack downstairs and outside. As people streamed away from the globe, the late afternoon sun was going down.
This way, said Annie.
She headed for the patch of trees behind the theater. When she and Jack stepped into the gloomy shade, Jack saw an odd figure near a tree. A purple cape barely covered his furry back. A golden wig and a lion mask barely hid his furry head. Jack gasped.
The bear! You stole him!
I had to, said Annie. I went to the cart when no one was looking. I put a costume on him, so if we pass people on the way here, they'd think he was an actor.
But you can't just steal him, said Jack.
I wasn't stealing. I was saving, said Annie. I'm not sure what to do with him now. What do you think?
Just then the bear's owner charged into the woods.
Where's my bear? He shouted. His face was red. He was scowling. Thieves, he yelled. Give him back. I'm selling him to the fights.
No, said Annie, standing between the bear and the man. He's a tame bear, not a fighter.
She's right, said Jack, jumping in. And besides, bear fighting is stupid, really stupid.
"'Tis indeed,' said a deep voice.
Jack, Annie, and the bear's owner whirled around. Will and Puck were standing at the edge of the woods. Chapter 9 Sweet Sorrow
"'Tut, tut, you're a sorry sight, man,' Will said to the bear's owner, "'trying to sell an old tame bear to the fights. "'Well, I've been planning to write a play with a part for a bear.' So take this money for him and be gone.
Will handed some gold coins to the bear's owner. The man's eyes grew wide. He laughed.
You can have him,
the man said, and he took off.
Thank you, and good riddance, called Will.
Then he turned to Puck.
Take our new player to the stables. Tell the actors they needn't be afraid of him. He's tamer than most of them.
Come this way, Puck said. He put his arm around the bear and gently led him out from the trees.
You'll love the stage, old man.
Bye, Puck. Bye, Dan, said Annie.
Puck smiled and waved. The bear stared for a moment at Jack and Annie. He had a grateful look in his eyes. Then he lumbered off with Puck.
Thanks, Will, for helping Dan, said Annie, and for helping us.
Thank you both for helping me, said Will. You saved the day.
The night, you mean, said Jack.
Indeed, the night, said Will.
Oh, here is your bag. You forgot it. He gave Jack his leather bag. Then he held up their two scrolls with their lines on them.
and you can take these," said Will. He handed them to Jack, and Jack put them in his bag. "Where are you off to now?" said Will.
"The other side of London Bridge," said Annie.
"Ah, I can take you there in my boat," said Will. "Follow me." Will led them along a dusty path toward the river. The last rays of the sun slanted through the trees. Soon they came to a small rowboat docked on the Thames. "Climb in," said Will. Jack, Annie, and Will climbed in. Will untied the boat from the dock. Then he began rowing across the river. The water reflected the purple and pink in the sky. Only a few white swans now glided over the shimmering ripples. The river smelled as bad as before, but Jack didn't mind now. He had grown used to it. Jack pulled out his notebook and pencil. "What are you doing?" Will asked.
"I wanted to write some of my memories in my notebook," said Jack.
"Ah, and I'll note you both in my book of memory," said Will. Jack smiled.
"I have a question, Will," said Annie. "Why does Queen Elizabeth have black teeth?"
"Too much sugar," said Will.
"I hope it doesn't make her feel bad, looking that way, I mean," said Annie.
"Oh, no, she's not the least hurt," said Will. "The Queen has no idea how she looks. She hasn't peeked in a good mirror for 20 years.
"Is that true?" said Annie.
"'Tis," said Will. "The Queen pretends to be young and beautiful, just as you pretended to be a boy, and the bear pretended to be an actor. You see, all the world's a stage." Jack liked that idea. He wrote in his notebook, "All the world's a stage." Jack looked up at London Bridge as they passed by. The shops on the bridge were closed now. The theater crowd was thinning out. The scary blackbirds were no longer on the rooftops. They had swooped down and were picking at the garbage left on the cobblestones. The show was over. By the time they came to the riverbank, night was falling. It was much cooler. Will tied up his rowboat and climbed ashore with Jack and Annie.
"Thanks a lot," Jack said to Will. "We can go the rest of the way by ourselves."
"Where do you live?" said Will.
"In Frog Creek," said Annie.
"What path do you take?" asked Will.
"You'll never believe this," said Annie. "We climb up the rope ladder to a tree house in that tree over there, and we open a book."
"Then we make a wish," said Jack, "and we go to the place in the book."
Will smiled. "Thy life's a miracle, isn't it?" he said.
"Yes," said Annie.
Jack nodded. He liked the way Will looked at things. "I have an idea," said Will. "Why don't you both stay here instead? You can live and act at the Globe Theater. I'll ask the Queen to exclude you from the law about girls going on stage, Annie, because of your great talent. And I will teach you both to write plays."
"Really?" said Jack and Annie together.
Jack couldn't imagine anything more fun. Then he thought of his parents back in Frog Creek.
"But our mom and dad," he said. "We would really miss them," said Annie.
Will smiled. "I understand," he said. "And I would miss you if I were them." He put his hand over his heart.
"So good night,
good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow."
"Yes, 'tis," said Annie, nodding.
"Farewell," said Will. He waved. Jack and Annie waved back. Then Will turned on his heels and headed back to his rowboat. Jack and Annie walked to the rope ladder and climbed up to the treehouse. When they got inside, they looked out the window. Will was rowing back across the Thames River. A single white swan glided across the ripples beside his boat. A silver moon was rising in the sky. At that moment, Jack did feel sweet sorrow. He wanted to stay in merry old England just a little longer.
"Wait, Will,"
he shouted. But Annie picked up the Pennsylvania book.
"I wish we could go home," she said.
The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 10. Our Will? Jack opened his eyes. They were wearing their own clothes again. A lightning bug blinked inside the growing darkness of the treehouse. Annie picked up Morgan's note.
She repeated the rhyme.
To find a special magic, you must step into the light, and without wand, spell, or charm, turn daytime into night.
We found the special magic, said Annie. Theater magic.
Yep, said Jack.
He opened his backpack. He and Annie took out the two scrolls Will had given them. When they unrolled them, Jack saw that Will had written something. He read aloud, "Thank you both for helping me. Your friend, William Shakespeare."
"William Shakespeare?" said Annie. "I've heard that name before."
"Me too," said Jack.
He took out their research book. He looked up Shakespeare in the index. He turned to a page and read aloud.
William Shakespeare lived from 1564 to 1616. He wrote 37 plays and many sonnets and other poems. Many people think he was the greatest writer who ever lived.
The greatest? Said Annie. Our Will?
Oh, man, whispered Jack. He stared in amazement at William Shakespeare's autograph.
Hey, we can leave our scrolls with Morgan's note, said Annie. It'll prove to her we found a special magic.
They put their two scrolls next to the note on the floor. Then they climbed down the rope ladder. When they started walking through the woods, a breeze blew, shaking the tree leaves. Shadows shifted. Birds called from hidden places.
Remember the enchanted woods?
Annie said in a hushed voice.
The fairy queen and the fairy king.
Jack smiled and nodded.
And Puck, the merry wanderer of the night, said Annie. And Will, our Will.
Jack nodded again.
I had a great time, said Annie. Didn't you?
Jack sighed.
Yes, he said.
Then he took a deep breath and spoke very clearly and with feeling.
I have had a most rare vision. I have had a dream.
We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse No. 25, Stage Fright on a Summer Night by Mary Pope Osborne. Read by the author. This program was produced and directed by Lewis Milgram. Executive producer, Karen D. Mattia. Text copyright 2002 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 2003, Random House, Inc., all rights reserved. Listening Library presents Magic Treehouse No. 26, Good Morning, Gorillas, by Mary Pope Osborne. Read by the author.
Good Morning, Gorillas. Chapter 1. Dark and Rainy. Tap, tap, tap. Jack sat up in bed. Rain tapped against his window. His clock said 5 a.m. It was still dark outside. Annie peeked into his room.
Are you awake?
She whispered.
Yep, said Jack.
Ready to find some special magic?
She asked.
Maybe we should wait, said Jack. It's so dark and rainy.
No waiting, said Annie. I'll get an umbrella. You bring a flashlight. Meet you downstairs.
Okay, said Jack.
He jumped out of bed. He pulled on his clothes and put on a jacket. Then he grabbed his backpack and flashlight. Jack slipped downstairs and out the front door. Annie stood on the porch in jeans and a t-shirt. The air was chilly and breezy.
Don't you need a sweater or something? Said Jack.
I'm okay, she said. Let's go.
Annie raised the umbrella. Jack turned on the flashlight. They followed a circle of rainy light down their street into the woods. They headed through the Frog Creek woods. The flashlight lit up the trees, the wet leaves and dark branches. Then it shined on a dangling rope ladder. Jack raised the flashlight beam.
There it is, he said.
A circle of light lit the magic treehouse.
Morgan's not there, said Annie. I can tell.
Maybe she left us a message, said Jack.
Jack grabbed the rope ladder and started up. Annie put the umbrella down and followed. When they climbed inside, Jack shined the flashlight around the treehouse. Morgan Le Fay wasn't there, but the scrolls from their trip to Old England were.
"Here's proof we found a special magic yesterday," she said.
"Yeah," said Jack, smiling. "Theater magic." He had great memories of acting in a play by their friend William Shakespeare. "Did Morgan leave us a new secret rhyme?" asked Jack.
He shined the flashlight on a book lying under the window. A piece of paper was sticking out of the book.
"Yes,"
said Annie. She picked up the book and pulled out the paper. Jack shined his light on the paper while Annie read aloud.
"Dear Annie and Jack, good luck on your second journey to find a special magic. This secret rhyme will guide you. To find a special kind of magic, in worlds so far apart, speak a special language, talk with your hands and heart. Thank you, Morgan."
"What kind of language does she mean?" Jack asked.
"I guess we'll find out," said Annie. "Where are we going?"
Jack shined the flashlight on the cover of the book. It showed huge trees partly hidden by mist. The title was An African Rainforest.
"Rainforest," said Jack. "Good thing we brought our umbrella and flashlight. Remember the rain in the Amazon rainforest? Remember how dark it was under the treetops?"
"Yeah," said Annie. "Remember the spiders and scary ants?"
"Well," Jack said, "not all rainforests have the same bugs."
"Remember the river snakes?" said Annie. "And the crocodiles?"
"Well," said Jack, "not all rainforests have big rivers. There are different kinds of rainforests, you know."
"Right,"
said Annie. She pointed to the cover of the book.
"I wish we could go there."
The wind started to blow.
"Oh, remember the jaguar?" said Annie. "And the vampire bats?"
"Wait," said Jack. But it was too late. The wind was blowing harder. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster.
Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 2. Cloud Forest. Jack opened his eyes.
"I can't tell what kind of rainforest this is,"
said Annie. She stared out the window. Jack looked out too. It seemed to be daytime, but he couldn't see much of anything. The quiet forest was covered with fog. Jack opened their research book and read,
"The misty rainforest in the mountains of Central Africa is called a cloud forest."
"Oh, I get it," said Annie. "We're up so high, it's like we're in a cloud."
"Cool," said Jack. He pulled out his notebook and wrote, "Cloud forest, rainforest high up in mountains."
Then he read more.
"The African cloud forest is home to many animals, including elephants, water buffaloes, black leopards." Jack looked up.
"Black leopards?" he said.
"Don't worry," said Annie.
Jack cleared his throat and kept reading.
"Antelopes, wild hogs, and gorillas."
"Gorillas?"
said Annie. "Don't worry," said Jack.
"I'm not worried. I love gorillas," said Annie. "They're totally great."
"I don't know about that," said Jack. He pictured huge apes pounding their chests. "I'd like to study them, though. Write down their habits and behavior just like a real scientist."
"Whatever," said Annie. "Let's just go. This'll be a fun adventure."
She took off down the ladder. Jack threw his notebook, the research book, and the flashlight into his pack. He hooked the umbrella over his arm, then he followed Annie. When they stepped onto the ground, Jack could see better. The fog had turned into a fine mist. Jack and Annie started through the cloud forest. They walked around huge trees draped with moss. They pushed past tall shrubs and leafy plants.
"Wow, look at that tree," said Annie.
She pointed to a fat tree. It had wide lower limbs padded with thick cushions of moss.
"It looks like a piece of furniture," said Annie, "like an armchair."
"Yeah," said Jack. "I better draw it."
He put the umbrella on the ground. He pulled the flashlight out of his pack and put it next to the umbrella. Then he took out his notebook and pencil. As Annie walked ahead, Jack started to draw a simple picture of the fat tree.
"Hey, Jack," Annie called in a whispery voice. "Come here, quick."
Jack grabbed his pack. He moved around the tree and caught up with Annie.
"Listen,"
she said. Jack heard branches snap.
Crack.
A leopard? He wondered.
crack, crack? Jack nervously looked around the forest. Maybe we should go back up to the treehouse, he said. We could read a little more and learn a little more. Annie didn't answer. Jack turned to her. She was grinning from ear to ear as she stared into the bushes. Jack followed her gaze. A dark, shaggy little head was peeking out from a cluster of leaves.
Boo? Boo?
A small gorilla asked.
Chapter 3. Boo Boo. The gorilla's fur was very black against the green leaves. She had large nostrils and small ears. Her bright brown eyes were full of mischief.
Boo, 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 she said. Boo, boo.
Boo, boo yourself, said Annie. The gorilla hid behind the leaves again. Then she poked her head out.
Peek-a-boo,
said Annie. The gorilla clapped her hands together. She stuck out her tongue. Jack and Annie both laughed.
Boo, boo, boo,
the gorilla said. Then she bounded away through the misty forest.
Hey, boo-boo, don't leave us,
Annie called. Jack rolled his eyes. Don't name her boo-boo, he said to Annie. You don't have to.
Wait, boo-boo,
Annie shouted. She took off after the small gorilla. Turn every animal into your best friend, Jack finished. He shook his head. Then he made a list in his notebook. Gorilla behavior. Plays peekaboo. Claps hands, sticks out tongue. As he wrote, Jack heard Annie laughing, but then he heard high shrieks. He caught his breath. A leopard? He wondered. Carrying his notebook, Jack hurried in the direction of the noise. He found Annie and the small gorilla perched in two trees.
What's wrong?
Said Jack, standing beneath the trees.
Nothing, called Annie. We're just playing.
The small gorilla screeched again. Then she scratched her head and hiccuped. Annie screeched, too. She scratched her head and hiccuped. While they played, Jack studied the gorilla a bit more. He noticed she was about the size of a 3-year-old kid. Her fingers looked like human fingers. They even had fingernails. He made a new list. Young gorilla. Size of 3-year-old. Fingers like humans. Fingernails. Jack heard the tree leaves shaking. He looked up. Annie and the gorilla had both climbed higher.
Hey, come down, Annie, Jack called. You might fall, plus it's getting dark.
Jack looked around. Light was fading quickly from the forest. Is night falling? He wondered. Or is a storm coming? The small gorilla screeched again and climbed even higher.
Hey, boo-boo, where are you going?
Said Annie. She climbed even higher, too.
That's enough, Annie. Come down now, said Jack. I'm serious.
To his relief, the gorilla settled on a branch. Annie did the same. The gorilla broke off a piece of tree bark. She nibbled it like a candy bar. Annie broke off a piece of bark. She nibbled it like a candy bar, too. The gorilla threw down her bark. She grabbed a tree branch and swung to another tree.
Don't try it, Annie,
shouted Jack. But his warning came too late. Annie threw down her bark. She grabbed a tree branch and tried to swing to another tree. Annie didn't swing like a gorilla. She fell from the tree and crashed down to the ground near Jack.
Annie,
he cried.
Chapter 4. Nightmare. Jack knelt beside Annie. She was gasping for breath.
The gorilla bounded down the tree and over to Annie. She bit her lower lip as if she were worried.
Are you okay?
Jack asked Annie.
Yes, Annie panted. Just got the breath knocked out of me.
Wiggle your arms and your legs, said Jack. Annie wiggled her arms and her legs.
Good, nothing's broken, said Jack.
Just then he felt a drop of water hit his arm. The mist had turned to rain.
Uh-oh,
said Jack. He threw his notebook into his pack.
I better get our umbrella and flashlight, he said. I left them near that tree that looked like a chair.
I'll come too, said Annie. She started to sit up.
No, no, catch your breath, said Jack. It's not far. I'll be right back.
He took off his jacket and draped it over her.
This'll help you stay dry, he said.
He pulled on his pack and stood up. The gorilla screeched.
Stay with Annie, said Jack.
Then he dashed back through the cloud forest. He looked for the fat tree with the wide limbs padded with moss. As he peered through the growing darkness, Jack saw many fat trees. He saw many limbs padded with moss.
Soon he could hardly see trees at all. He realized that both a storm and night had come to the forest. Forget the umbrella and flashlight, he thought. It was more important to get back to Annie before it was too dark. They could wait together for daylight. As Jack started back to Annie, he could hardly see. He didn't know which way to go.
Annie! Boo-boo! He shouted.
He felt silly shouting boo-boo, but he didn't know what else to call the small gorilla. Jack put out his hands. He moved slowly through the dark, rainy forest. He kept calling for Annie and Boo-Boo. He listened for them, but he couldn't hear anything above the loud patter of the rain.
Ah!
He shouted. He had run into something that felt like a ball of spider webs. As he jumped back, he slipped and fell in the mud. He crawled over to a tree and huddled between two of its giant roots.
I'll just wait here until morning, he thought. Then I'll find Annie, or she'll find me.
As rain dripped all around him, Jack wondered if leopards came out at night. He quickly pushed the thought away. He tried to think about morning and finding Annie and going home. He was really ready to go home.
Why did Morgana even send us to the cloud forest? He wondered.
He tried to remember the secret rhyme.
To find a special magic, he whispered.
He couldn't remember the rest. He felt tired and miserable. He took his backpack off and rested his head on it. He closed his eyes.
To find a special magic,
he mumbled. But he couldn't find the magic. He couldn't even find the words that finished the rhyme. Worst of all, he couldn't find Annie. Their fun adventure in the cloud forest had turned into a nightmare. Chapter 5. Silverback. Jack felt something tugging on his sleeve. He opened his eyes. Boo-boo. The small gorilla was staring at him in the dawn light. Jack stood up. His arms and legs felt stiff and achy. His wet clothes stuck to his skin. He looked around the cloud forest. Misty sunlight shined through the tree branches.
Where's Annie?
He asked the small gorilla. Boo-boo waved her arms. Then she bounded off between the trees. Jack pulled on his pack and followed. As the small gorilla led him through the cloud forest, her head bobbed above the leafy plants. Finally, she stopped before a row of shrubs. Jack took a few steps forward and peered over the shrubs.
Oh, man, he whispered.
Large, dark figures were sleeping in an open, grassy area. Gorillas. There were at least 10 of them. Some slept on their backs. Some slept on their bellies. The gorillas were all sizes. The smallest was a baby sleeping in its mother's arms. The biggest was a giant with black and silver fur. Jack pulled the book out of his pack. He found a chapter on gorillas and read, Mountain gorillas live together in families. The leader of the family is a large male called a silverback because he has silver fur on his back and shoulders. Gorillas do not hunt other animals. They mainly eat the plant growth of the forest. They are known to be shy and gentle giants.
Shy and gentle giants, Jack repeated. That sounded good.
He peered over the shrubs again. Boo-boo waved at him. She was standing at the far edge of the clearing. She pointed to something in the tall grass.
Annie was fast asleep in the grass.
Jack didn't know what to do. If he called her name, the gorillas would wake up. He had only one choice. He had to sneak over to her. Jack put his book in his pack. He pushed past the shrubs and stepped into the clearing. His heart was pounding. He thought of the words from the book, shy and gentle giants. As he started toward Annie, he heard a grunt. The giant gorilla with silver fur opened his eyes. When the gorilla saw Jack, he sat up. Jack stopped in his tracks. The gorilla just glared. This giant did not seem shy or gentle at all. Jack saw a stick lying on the ground. He picked it up just in case. Jack's stick made the gorilla growl. He stood up. He was very tall and very wide. Jack dropped his stick. Boo-boo ran and hid behind a tree. The silverback growled again. His long, shaggy arms touched the ground. His fingers curled under. Walking on his knuckles, he stepped toward Jack. Jack stepped back. The gorilla stepped forward. Jack stepped back again. The gorilla kept stepping forward. Jack kept stepping back until he had stepped out of the clearing. But the silverback kept coming. Jack stumbled back through the brush until he came to a thick wall of plants. The gorilla kept coming. Jack couldn't move back anymore. Hi, he said nervously. He held up his hand. I come in. Before Jack could say peace, the giant gorilla went crazy. He hooted and leaped to his feet. Jack crouched down in a panic. The gorilla kept hooting. He grabbed a tree limb. He shook it wildly. He ripped leaves from branches. He gnashed his teeth. He cupped his hands. He beat his chest. Raw! He roared. Raw! The gorilla dropped on all fours. He charged back and forth past Jack. Then he threw himself on his belly. He began bashing the ground with his palms. He bashed and bashed and bashed. Jack scrambled on his hands and knees over to a tree. He hid behind the trunk, hugging his head. He waited for the maniac gorilla to find him and tear him to pieces. Chapter 6. Good morning, gorillas. The pounding ended. There was silence, a long silence. Jack opened his eyes. He peeked around the tree. The silverback was sitting on the ground. His lips were curved in a smile. He looked pleased with himself. Was his whole act a fake? Jack wondered. Jack didn't know whether to be scared or to laugh. The only thing he did know was he still had to get to Annie. Jack pulled out the research book. He found the gorilla chapter again. He read, "To safely get close to gorillas in the wild, it's wise to act like a gorilla yourself. Crouch down and rest on your knuckles like a gorilla. Keep your head down and act friendly." Jack packed up his research book. He put his pack on his back, then he went down on his knees. Jack took a deep breath. He smiled a friendly smile. Pressing down on his knuckles, he moved out from behind the tree. His fingers hurt as he walked on them. The silverback grunted. Jack didn't look up. He kept smiling a friendly smile as he crawled through the brush toward the clearing. When he got to the edge of the clearing, he glanced back. The giant gorilla was following him. He was frowning, but he didn't seem about to attack. Jack kept going. He moved into the clearing, then he stopped. More gorillas were waking up. A large gorilla hugged Boo Boo as if to comfort her. When Boo Boo saw Jack, she screeched joyfully. All the other gorillas turned to look at him. They made nervous sounds. Jack's heart pounded, but he just smiled his friendly smile and kept crawling. He crawled around the gorillas and over to Annie. "Wake up," he said, shaking her. Annie yawned, then opened her eyes.
"Oh, hi," she said.
"Are you okay?" asked Jack.
"Sure," she said.
She sat up and looked around. She gasped. The gorillas were staring at Jack and Annie with bright, darting eyes. The silverback stared the hardest.
"Oh, wow," said Annie.
A joyful smile crossed her face.
"Good morning, gorillas."
Chapter 7. Eating Out. Annie kept smiling at the gorillas.
"Wow," she said. "Wow, wow, wow."
"Didn't you know you were sleeping next to them?" Jack asked.
"No," she said. "When you didn't come back, Boo Boo led me here, but I couldn't see anything. It was too dark."
Just then, Boo Boo left her mother's arms and bounded over to Annie. She climbed into Annie's lap and hugged her. Another small gorilla left his mother and ran over to Annie, too. He was about the size of a 2-year-old kid.
"Ho, ho,"
he said. He gave Annie a playful poke.
"Ho, ho yourself," said Annie. "Is Ho, ho your name?"
She tickled Ho, ho. She tickled Boo Boo, too. The two small gorillas made laughing sounds and fell onto their backs. The two mother gorillas laughed, too.
"Ho, ho, ho,"
they said. Jack felt a little jealous. He wanted the gorillas to like him as well, but he didn't know how to join in the fun, so he just sighed and pulled out his notebook. He added to his gorilla behavior list. Gorillas like to tickle and laugh. Suddenly, he heard a low growl. He looked up. The silverback had moved closer to him. He was glaring.
That big guy doesn't understand what you're doing, Annie called to Jack. He's never seen anyone take notes before.
Jack quickly put his notebook away. The giant gorilla huffed. Then he turned to his family and gave a short bark. The gorillas began lining up behind the silverback. The baby traveled in his mother's arms. Ho-Ho traveled on his mother's back. Boo-Boo and Annie held hands. They all followed the silverback out of the clearing.
Come on, Annie called to Jack. Let's go with Big Guy and the gang.
Jack shook his head. I don't think they want me to come along, he said. Boo-Boo screeched at Jack. She held out her free hand to him.
Boo-Boo wants you, said Annie.
Jack smiled shyly. He took Boo-Boo's small, warm hand. Then he walked with Annie and the gorillas out of the clearing. On their ramble through the cloud forest, the gorillas found food everywhere. They munched flowers and ferns and leaves. They swallowed and burped. They munched twigs and branches and pieces of bark and bamboo. They swallowed and burped. As the gorillas ate breakfast, it started to rain again, but they didn't seem to mind. Annie didn't seem to mind either. She and Boo-Boo played tag in the drizzly woods. They ran around the trees, laughing and screeching. Jack tried to follow them, but he gave up. He was tired and cold. Shivering, he stood under a mossy tree to keep dry. While he was alone, Jack sneaked his notebook out of his pack. He made a new list. Gorilla foods. Flowers, ferns, leaves, twigs, bark, branches, bamboo. As he wrote, he heard a low growl. He looked up. Big Guy had spotted him. The silverback was standing close by. He was frowning at Jack, his lips tucked in a tight line. Sorry, sorry, said Jack. He quickly put away his notebook. Big Guy kept frowning. Jack quickly tried to act like a gorilla. He went down on all fours. He tore off the leaf of a plant. He took a bite. It tasted bitter like vinegar. Jack pretended to munch and swallow and burp. Big Guy huffed, then moved on. As soon as he was gone, Jack spat out the leaf. Yuck, 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 he said, wiping his tongue. Jack felt a tap on his back. He jumped, but it was just Ho-Ho. The small gorilla offered him a twig to eat. Oh, no thanks, Ho-Ho, said Jack. Ho-Ho kept holding out the twig. Oh, okay, said Jack, politely taking it. I'll eat it later. He put the twig into his backpack. Ho-Ho's mom came over to Jack. She held some berries to his lips. No thanks, Jack said. The gorilla stared at him with a sad look. Oh, okay, said Jack. He opened his mouth, and Ho-Ho's mom fed him the berries. Jack munched the berries. To his surprise, they tasted good. He swallowed, then burped just like a gorilla. This time he wasn't pretending. Boo-Boo's mom then came over to Jack. She offered him some rainwater from a cupped plant. Jack was very thirsty. He sipped the water. It tasted fresh and cold. Boo-Boo's mom took Jack's hand in her wide hand. She led him through the forest to Annie and Boo-Boo. Boo-Boo screeched happily when she saw Jack. She threw her furry arms around him.
Hi, we missed you, Annie said to Jack. Are you having fun?
Jack smiled and nodded.
Actually, he was having fun now. He didn't mind the rain so much anymore. He didn't feel so left out. Some of the gorillas really seemed to like him, he thought. They seemed to like him a lot.
Chapter 8. A Special Language. The rain ended. Slowly the feeding came to a stop. Big Guy led his family into a clearing. The tall grass sparkled with misty sunlight. The silverback lay down and tucked his arms under his head. The other gorillas gathered around him. Some beat the grasses until they were flat. Ho-Ho's mom made a bed of weed stalks for Ho-Ho. Boo-Boo's mom made a bed of leaves for Boo-Boo. Then she made two extra beds for Jack and Annie. They lay down with all the gorillas to take their naps. Jack used his backpack for a pillow. Lying on his leafy bed, Jack watched the mother of the baby gorilla groom her small baby. The mother parted his hair and searched through it, picking at his skin now and then. The baby soon wiggled free and crawled around in the grass. His mother's gaze then rested on Annie. She moved over to Annie and gently grabbed one of her pigtails. She studied it carefully.
What are you doing? Annie asked.
She's looking for bugs, I think, said Jack.
Oh, yuck, said Annie, sitting up.
Jack laughed. Just then the baby's mother reached for him.
Oops, no thanks, no bugs on me, he said, and he sat up too.
The mother gorilla lay back in the grass and closed her eyes. Her baby crawled over to Annie.
Hi, little guy, Annie said tenderly.
She picked up the baby and stroked his head. The baby smiled at her and closed his eyes. While all the gorillas napped, Jack sneaked the book out of his pack. He found the gorilla chapter. He read softly to Annie.
Gorillas are very smart. A captive gorilla named Coco has even learned sign language. Sign language is a special language used by people who cannot hear. Coco can say,
What?
Annie said loudly.
Sign language? A special language?
Her voice woke Boo Boo and Ho Ho. They sat up and rubbed their eyes.
So? Said Jack.
Morgan's secret rhyme, said Annie. Don't you remember?
She repeated the rhyme.
To find a special kind of magic, in worlds so far apart, speak a special language, talk with your hands and heart.
Oh, yeah, said Jack.
I even know a little sign language, said Annie. In school, we learned how to sign, I love you.
Annie held up a closed hand. Slowly she lifted her thumb, index finger, and little finger. She showed the sign to Boo Boo and Ho Ho.
I love you, she said slowly.
The small gorillas looked curious. Jack made the sign too.
I love you, he said to Boo Boo and Ho Ho.
The two little gorillas stared at Annie and Jack. Then both of them held up their hands. They tried to make the same sign.
They love us too, said Annie.
Wow, said Jack.
He glanced over at Big Guy. The silverback's eyes were open. He was watching them. Jack quickly closed the book. To his relief, the giant gorilla turned over.
Well, Annie said with a sigh, I guess that does it.
We spoke a special language, said Jack. We talked with our...
Before he could finish his sentence, Boo Boo pushed him.
Whoa, said Jack.
Ho-Ho held his little arms above his head. He reared back and charged at Jack. With a flying tackle, he knocked Jack over.
What's going on? Said Jack.
They want to play with you, said Annie.
Boo-Boo jumped on Jack and put him in a headlock. Jack broke free from the two small gorillas. He jumped up and dashed into the forest. Boo-Boo and Ho-Ho charged after him. Annie carried Little Guy and followed. She laughed as the small gorillas looked for Jack. Jack hid behind a tree. He pushed his glasses into place. He waited for Boo-Boo. In a moment, she walked by.
Boo!
Jack shouted, jumping out. Boo-Boo screeched and leaped straight up in the air. Jack cracked up laughing. Boo-Boo didn't laugh, though. She bit her lip. She hid her face behind her hands.
Oh, Boo-Boo, said Annie. Don't be scared.
She gently put the baby on the ground. She reached out to comfort Boo-Boo. Boo-Boo wrapped her arms around Annie's neck. She buried her furry head in Annie's shoulder.
Jack was just playing, said Annie.
Boo-Boo raised her head. She looked at Jack over Annie's shoulder.
Friends? He asked softly.
Boo-Boo stuck her tongue out at him. Jack laughed. Boo-Boo showed her teeth in a big smile.
Friends, said Jack.
Just then Ho-Ho started screeching. Jack and Annie looked around. Ho-Ho was pointing into the bushes.
Where's little guy? Said Annie.
She and Jack dashed around the shrubs. The baby had crawled to a tree. He was looking up at a branch. A huge, sleek cat with black fur was sitting on the branch. His pale green eyes stared down at the baby gorilla. He looked hungry.
A black leopard, breathed Jack.
The leopard leaped lightly down from his perch. He faced little guy. The baby looked scared.
No,
cried Annie. She ran over to the baby gorilla and scooped him into her arms. The leopard let out a snarl. He lowered his head and started slowly toward Annie and the baby. Jack panicked. He didn't know what to do at first. Then he remembered Big Guy's act. Jack took a deep breath. When he let it out, he made a loud hooting sound. He tore out from the brush, hooting like a silverback. He ran between Annie and the leopard. Jack grabbed a tree limb and shook it. He ripped leaves from branches. He cupped his hands. He beat his chest.
"Raw!" he roared. "Raw!"
Then Jack leaned over and charged back and forth past the leopard. Finally, he threw himself on his belly. He began bashing the ground with his palms. He bashed and bashed and bashed.
"Jack!" Annie called. "Jack!"
Jack looked up.
"He's gone," Annie said in a quiet voice. "The leopard's gone. He left a while ago."
"Oh," said Jack. He sat up. He pushed his glasses into place. He looked around. Then he smiled. Chapter 9. Goodbye, Gorillas. Jack couldn't stop smiling. He had scared off a leopard. Boo Boo and Ho-Ho stared at Jack with awe. Annie looked at him with awe, too.
"When did you learn to do that?" she asked.
Before Jack could answer, he heard a rustling in the brush. Then Big Guy stepped out from the shrubs. The giant gorilla walked silently over to Annie. He took Little Guy from her and put the baby on his back. Then he touched Annie's cheek gently. Annie grinned at him. Boo Boo and Ho-Ho ran to Big Guy and clung to his legs. The giant gorilla barked at the small ones, directing them to come with him. As he walked past Jack, Big Guy stopped.
"Huh, huh, huh,"
he said in a low voice. He reached out toward Jack. Jack ducked, but the silverback patted him on the head. Then he and the small gorillas moved out of sight. Jack felt as if the top of his head were glowing.
"Wow," he whispered. "Did you see what he just did?"
"Yeah," said Annie. "He must have watched the show you put on. He was proud of you."
"Well, he was proud of you, too," Jack said modestly. Annie nodded, smiling.
"I guess it's time to leave now," she said.
"Leave?" said Jack.
"We have to say goodbye now," said Annie.
"Goodbye?" said Jack. He didn't want to say goodbye to the gorillas. He loved them. They were totally great.
"Yeah," Annie said softly. "Come on."
She led the way back through the shrubs, around the trees, to the clearing. They found all the gorillas awake. Some were stretching and yawning. Others were munching on grass or leaves. The baby was back in his mother's arms. Boo Boo and Ho-Ho were chattering away to their moms. "They're probably telling them what I did," Jack thought. He and Annie walked over to Big Guy and stood in front of him. The other gorillas gathered around.
"We have to go now," Annie said to all of them.
"We have to say goodbye," said Jack.
"Thanks for letting us be a part of your family," said Annie.
She and Jack held up their hands and waved. The gorillas looked sad. They murmured soft sounds. Big Guy lifted his hand in the air as if he were about to wave. But instead, the silverback raised his thumb, his index finger, and his little finger. "I love you," the giant gorilla signed. Jack couldn't believe his eyes. Annie signed back.
"I love you," Jack signed too.
The silverback stared at them for a long moment with a gentle, shy look. Then he turned away and gave a short bark to his family. All the gorillas lined up behind him. The baby's mother held her baby close. Ho-Ho rode piggyback on his mom. Boo-Boo held her mom's hand. The silverback started away from the clearing. The others followed. Boo-Boo was the only one who looked back. She screeched and waved at Jack and Annie. Then she walked away out of sight. Jack couldn't talk. His heart was too full. He took a few steps in the direction of the gorillas.
"Hey,"
Annie said softly.
"You're going the wrong way."
Jack looked back at her.
"The treehouse is over there," she said.
She pointed in the opposite direction, at the treehouse peeking out from the fog. Jack sighed, then he turned and started to follow her out of the clearing.
"Oh, don't forget this," said Annie.
She leaned over and picked up Jack's backpack from the grass. She handed it to him.
"Thanks," he said.
They kept walking.
"And don't forget this," said Annie.
She picked up Jack's jacket from under a tree. She handed it to him.
"Thanks," said Jack.
He tied his jacket around his waist. They kept walking.
"And don't forget these," said Annie.
She pointed to the flashlight and umbrella. They lay on the grass under the wide mossy limbs of a fat tree. Annie picked them up and carried them herself. It started to drizzle again just as she and Jack got to the rope ladder. They climbed up into the treehouse. When they got inside, they looked out the window. Jack hoped to catch one last glimpse of the gorilla family. But there was nothing to see. A white mist covered the cloud forest. Annie picked up the Pennsylvania book. She pointed to a picture of Frog Creek Woods.
"I wish we could go home," she said.
Suddenly, a joyous screech rang out. The happy, wild sound shot through the white mist, through the cool rain, straight into Jack's heart. He opened his mouth to answer the call of the gorillas, but it was too late. The wind began to blow. The treehouse started to spin. It spun faster and faster. Then everything was still, absolutely still. Chapter 10, A Special Magic. Tap, tap, tap. Jack opened his eyes. The Frog Creek woods were still dark and rainy.
"We're home," Annie said.
Jack sighed.
"I miss them already," he said.
"Me too," said Annie. "Did you take a lot of notes on their habits and behavior?"
Jack shrugged.
"I listed a few things about them," he said. "But sometimes lists don't tell you much. You have to love gorillas to really know them."
"Yeah, that's right," said Annie.
Jack opened his backpack. He pulled out their research book and put it in the corner. Then he pulled out the twig that Ho-Ho had given him. He smiled as he showed it to Annie.
"I promised Ho-Ho I'd eat this later," he said, "but I think we should save it for Morgan instead."
"Good idea," said Annie. "It'll prove to her that we found a special magic."
"Yeah, gorilla magic," said Jack.
"The magic of all animals," said Annie.
"Yeah," said Jack.
He placed the twig next to the scrolls they'd brought back from Old England.
"Let's go," said Annie.
She started down. Jack pulled on his backpack. He put the flashlight in his pack. Then he grabbed the umbrella and followed Annie. They started through the Frog Creek woods. It was still cool and dark and rainy. Jack didn't mind, though. He didn't put on his jacket. He didn't take out the flashlight. He didn't put up the umbrella. Jack felt as if he weren't completely human yet. There was still a bit of gorilla left in him.
"Ho, ho, ho," he said in a low voice.
"Boo, boo,"
Annie said back.
"Ho, ho, ho,"
they said together.
We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Magic Treehouse number 26, Good Morning, Gorillas, by Mary Pope Osborne, read by the author. This program was produced and directed by Lewis Melgram. Executive producer, Karen DiMattia. Text copyright 2002 by Mary Pope Osborne. Production copyright 2003, Random House, Inc., all rights reserved.